Alrighty, well, we're going to finish up with the Gospel of Peace today. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. That says, "For I am not ashamed." And we talked about this word ashamed means to have fear, to be embarrassed, humiliated, to be associated with a person. So I'm not ashamed of my relationship with Jesus, of the gospel. That word gospel means to proclaim the good news. The gospel of Christ, for it is the power. That power is the manifestation of His goodness, His ability, His miracle power. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so the gospel is the good news. And we've talked about this, the death, it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And not only that, but then what does it mean for you? What does it mean for you in your life? And because of the gospel, and for those that receive it, those that believe it, you now become in a position called being in Christ. And being in Christ, you have an inheritance. And with that inheritance, you can do things. So we like to say that we know who we are, what we have, and what we can do. Jesus and God has done all He's going to do about the devil. He's already defeated the devil, defeated him 2,000 years ago. And so we're to enforce that victory. He's not going to enforce it. He's already won the battle. So we have to learn who we are and walk that thing out on a daily basis. And that's the power of the gospel. And we've mentioned this, that the gospel, there's two main parts to it. First of all, you've been saved by grace through faith. Your sin nature has been changed. Your sins have been forgiven. They've been wiped away. There's no record in heaven of your sin. That's good news. And He's not keeping a new record either. Your file is clean. And so He's actually changed you. And so He's taken the unrighteous part out of you and made you righteous. And that word righteous means now I have right standing. I have a good position. And in fact, I have the same position as a son or daughter that Jesus has. Wow. And so I have this position of righteousness. I have right standing with God. And that means I can walk in the blessings of God here on the earth. Not just when I get to heaven and when I die. I can walk in those blessings right now. And so part of this right standing with God, our hearts should be ruled by peace. And so the gospel is a message of peace between us and God. It's a message of peace between us and each other. But this is a real good one for a lot of folks here today. It's a message of peace with myself. Because a lot of people, there's a war going on the inside of them. And I hate to say it, but they're not winning. And it's also peace with yourself. And when you're at peace with yourself, or in these three areas, then you can become what the Bible says, a minister of reconciliation, a minister of peace. Isn't that amazing? That you're actually carrying peace, bringing peace. I mean, how many know it's chaos outside of here, these walls here? You can actually bring the peace of God on the scene. In the same effect, and again, it's got to be by revelation for you to see these things, but the same effect that Jesus had on His world, you can have on your world. And you bring that peace wherever you go. Now, the gospel of peace is the only source for building real faith. Now, we talk about this a lot around here, about faith. The Bible says we live by faith. But how does faith come? Hearing what? And we've said that, you know, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and I'll read that scripture here in a second. But if faith comes just by hearing the Word of God, then why aren't we having more miracles in our churches? Why aren't we having more believers, you know, healing the sick, casting out devils? Why aren't we having more power? Now, we have over 1,000 churches in this area, and I have no doubt that scriptures are being used at all of those churches. But why then is it not producing faith, Bible faith? Why is it not producing more results? And let's put up Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But whenever you read scriptures, and we encourage you to do this, is it's so easy to pull scriptures out of context. And I like to, and you know, even scriptures I've heard for years, I like to always, even when I'm studying now, even something that I've read 1,000 times, I like to read beforehand and afterwards. What's the context in which the scripture is being written? So let's go back to Romans, just to back a few verses to Romans 10:13. It says this, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, shows a person how to be saved in Romans 10, right? For this life-giving church, Romans 10 is essential here. As we share the gospel, people believe in their heart that they believe the gospel, they believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then they confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord, right? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we believe that. And a person will not call on the name of the Lord if they don't believe. Right? And how can they believe unless they have a preacher? A messenger. Somebody's got to bring the message. And that's why we've been talking about the silent faith, how the silent faith is getting us nowhere. That only the gospel being shared and proclaimed, and it's done in love, is the only way to change hearts. Our silence is not producing anything. It's not producing changed lives. So there has to be a messenger. Now, this is where the problem comes in, the messenger. Because what the messenger has on their heart affects the people that are hearing. And what people hear about God will determine whether they call upon God. Now let's look at verse 15. "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace." Everybody say gospel of peace.
Gospel of peace.
Now if you are underlining things in your Bible, I'd underline that gospel of peace. In fact, I would underline it, highlight it, circle it, star it, put arrows toward it. Because this is the message that we're supposed to bring, not just any gospel, not just any word, but the gospel of peace. "Who bring glad tidings of good things." This is what the Amplified says. "And how can men be expected to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. How welcome is the coming of those who preach good news of His good things." Now, has all the preaching you've heard been good news of good things? So this is the context that Romans 10:17 was written. This is the context of that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's just not any word. It's just not any scriptures. Just having up scriptures does not mean it's the gospel of peace. And we have to realize it, because it's the gospel of peace that brings salvation. And we know that that salvation means much more than just going to heaven when you die. It means healing. It means deliverance. It needs restoration. It means provision. So the gospel of peace brings healing. The gospel of peace brings provision. So it's very important what you're hearing. Now, for those that come to Good News Church, maybe you come and hear Sundays and, you know, School for Life and Sunday morning and Wednesday night, you know, and really not, you know, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's not even half. They're probably way less than half that actually does all three of those things. But if you do all those three services, it's probably about 2-3% of your time. So even if we're preaching the gospel of peace here, it can be short-circuited by what you're listening to when you go home. You see what I'm saying? What you're listening to on the radio, what kind of music you're listening to, what kind of preaching you're listening to, what you're reading. And just so you're aware, all scriptures and all, you know, preaching is not the gospel of peace. And if it's not the gospel of peace, then it's going to produce what's behind, in the heart of the messenger, it's going to produce in your life. What you give attention to, what you're listening to, is going to produce something in you. And it's going to produce faith or fear. Are you hearing me today? And so this is vital. And I wish I could just kind of follow you all day long and monitor you. Would you like that? What you're saying, what you're thinking, what you're hearing. And some of the things that are being said in churches in this area, it's not good. It's not life-giving. And we say this, that it's life and death where you go to church. It's life and death what you hear. It's life and death what kind of gospel, and if it's gospel, it's got to be good news, but it's life or death, what kind of messages that you're listening to. Are they preaching old covenant, works, rules, regulations, laws, trying to earn God's approval? Or are they preaching grace through faith? Are they preaching grace through faith? So not every preacher has beautiful feet. You are so beautiful to me. Yes, you are. Okay. Hearing the gospel will build faith. Hearing the bad news. Would you be going to a church called Bad News Church? Wouldn't it be great to kind of go around from church to church and change the sign to what they're really preaching? What kind of ministry is that? Just bringing the sign crew. What are you doing? We're changing the sign. Why? Because God told me to. Because this is what you're really preaching. So while you're sitting here, you can just be writing down some names and you can just give those to me after service. But just because they're a church and there's a minister and there's scriptures, doesn't mean it's good news. And it may be our church. I may be so deceived. It may be our church. I hope it's not. I'd be a little disappointed. But some of these churches you go to, these believers are Christians. I'll say Christians, not believers. They're some of the meanest people you've ever met in your life. They are mean. And if you're just a little lamb, I mean, you're going to be the lamb led to slaughter. They're going to eat you up and spit you out. And sure enough, we got a lot of people walking in the streets today. They're not in church. And they ain't going back to church. Because of mean church folk that had good news church on the sign, but they had bad news being preached. And they were a part of that. And that this has got to change. And so what is the bad news? The bad news is basically that by our works and by the law and by our performance, we can earn God's approval. Earning something that we already have. And that message, if it's being preached, and I preached it, I hate to say it, and I got to watch myself now because, you know, the Bible talks about falling from grace. It's just so easy to slip back into it. Because all of us around, you know, even in the world, they operate by works. And it's so easy, and you kind of slip in and slip out. But the message of condemnation and the message of judgment and the message is you're a no good worthy sinner and you'll never be anything leads to people running from God. It does not bring people to God. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That word hope means confident expectation of good things. Confident expectation of good things. Things will not change for you for the better until you have hope, until you have confident expectation of good things. We get what we expect. In every situation, and in every moment of every day, we should be expecting good things from God. When the creditor's calling you, when your baby is sick, when they're, you know, cussing you out at work, even in the midst of all the world, is we should have an expectation of good things coming from God. When we miss it. Especially when you miss it. Especially when you're feeling unworthy. God is not the source of our trials, our problems, our tribulations, our hurts. And I've got news for you today. God's judgment, He's not judging the earth. So all this, can I say crap? Can I say that? Let's take a vote. All those in favor of me saying crap, which I've already said. But 9/11 is God's judgment. Tsunamis and earthquakes and tornadoes. Good news, church, no crap allowed. Let's get that on TV. It'll just spread the nation. Cover the nation. Even living by faith can be turned into law. I know, I've been there. The 15 steps. I'm all for the steps, but I mean, your steps are killing me. How in the world can I do all your steps? I need faith just to do the faith steps. You know, there was a young boy, and he was out there with his dad, and they're on the shore, and they're watching all these sailboats. And the little boy has this question for his dad, and he says, "Dad, the wind's blowing in a certain direction, but all these boats are going in all kind of directions. What's the deal? I don't understand." And the father says to the boy, "Well, you see, son, each of these ships are run by a captain, and their rudder and how they handle that sail determines the direction. And so the wind is blowing, God's wind is blowing, but the rudder is our believing. Our believing, and really this is the qualification, our believing of the good news. Not just any scriptures. Our believing of the good news determines whether we're going to be going with the wind. And that's why I encourage you to come here, and we'll do our best. And we need to give you a percentage of good news being preached. Hopefully it's 100%, but let's just say it's 95%. 97, I mean, I don't know, 3% doubt and unbelief. I don't know, what do you think, Sean? You can work that out. I mean, Sean knows about these kind of things. But, you know, hopefully we're working towards 100%. Working towards 100%. Working. See, there, it just slipped right in there. But come, and then, but what are you hearing outside of here? What are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you studying? Because that's determining what you're hearing. It's producing something in you, faith or fear. Many people have set sail on the traditions of men. Ouch. Man's opinions. And these traditions make the Word of God of no effect and makes it powerless. And look at the contrast between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were all about the rules. And when this rule didn't work and didn't earn the blessings of God and more power, they added another rule. And I say they added 666. I don't know the exact number. Then you have Jesus. And then what is his... Two rules here at the Rock. Barney Fife. Two rules here at the Rock. You know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's his rules. Let's see. 666 added to the old covenant. Or, you know, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Can I say frickin'? Can I bring that to the table today? Tony, you're okay with that? Our freaking rules are killing us. weighing us down. Powerless. Then you have Jesus. He's bringing mercy and grace
and forgiveness. And look at what he's producing. And then the Pharisees are mad, so mad they kill him. And the Apostle Paul, it said the Apostle Paul, he kept all the rules. He is so disciplined. I mean, he's my hero. So disciplined. Kept all the rules perfectly. And what does he end up doing? He ends up murdering Christians. Do you see where that works? Trying to, that performance thing, why that earning, where that leads to? It doesn't lead to righteousness. It leads to sin. So such a contrast. That's why he brings up the Pharisees. The Pharisees is all about works. Jesus is about grace. All right. Let's read Romans 2, verse 4. This is so good. So good. Everybody say, so good.
So good.
You expecting good things today?
Yes.
You have hope today?
Yes.
I know you all look so good, but I know some of you are going through some trials. Going through some things. Romans 2, verse 4. Are you to despise the riches of His goodness? I love that. The riches of His goodness. It says in Ephesians, I mean, for all of eternity, He just wants to show His kindness and show His riches. And it doesn't just start when we die and go to heaven. It's all right now. Just every day, He just wants to pour out His goodness, His richness towards you. Every day, He wants to bless you. But see, the issue is, do we believe it? It's so good. And you know, we're taught if it's so good, then something must be wrong. If the offer they make is so good, then something's going on there. It's too good to be true. And that's what we think about that. I mean, this is too good to be true. But it's in the Bible. It's not my words. It's all over the Bible. Or do you despise, and that's probably what a good way to put it. Do you despise the riches of His goodness? That's the question I want to ask you today. Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Now, we think about repentance and we think about, you know, wailing and gnashing of teeth and crying, and that may be part of it, maybe some sorrow with that. But really what repentance means is a change of heart. A change of mind. And when you change your heart and change your mind, you'll change your actions. That's what Tom will be trying to do in his class, trying to help you change your mind about your marriage. And if he can get you to change your mind, change your thinking, then things are going to start changing at home. It is real love and goodness of God. It's the real love and goodness of God that leads to real change. So if you're looking for change today, let's just show of hands. Who's looking for some things better? Even the person on the phone. They're blunt. Called right at the right time. And I'm all for being disciplined. I'm not saying not to be disciplined. But if you think by through sheer willpower and by your goals you're going to bring permanent change, you're fooling yourself. Without His love and without His grace and without His forgiveness and without His mercy, the heart, you'll change won't happen that you're wanting. It's the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Let me just read this in Romans 8, verse 31. And I mean, I'll just let it speak for itself.
Let these words just kind of soak in. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things if God is for us? It's a good question. Is God for us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
Freely give us all things.
Right.
Freely. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to condemn you? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? The devil. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Even after all he's done, now he's interceding for us. Who? You got to be able to answer these questions. Because how you answer these questions determine what kind of life you're living, what kind of fruits you're bearing, whether you're at peace, whether you're enjoying this crazy world. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, or the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the blessings of God. Need I go on? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Anybody in Christ today? I'm not removing Susie from the auditorium today like I did last week. Ushers, bring her some water. All right. You want me to challenge you a little bit? Bring it. You want me to bring it? You want me to bring it. It's okay if you're coming to Good News Church and you're sinning.
Amen.
Sean, you like that? If you're thinking you're coming to church where people are perfect, ha! Look at your neighbor and say, ha! Look at your other neighbor and say, ha, ha, ha! I'm not expecting you to be perfect. And hopefully Team Good News is not expecting you to be perfect, because this gospel is messy and people sin and they make mistakes. But are we going to stay, hang in there? Are we going to keep giving grace? Are we going to keep preaching His goodness? I've seen some amazing turnarounds just even in the last month of people's lives. And if I had I given up, I could have easily short-circuited. That's what we do, because we try to get in there and manhandle it, and by our works try to make it better, and we mess it up. But I've seen the grace
and the love of God working in people and in their relationships.
Amen.
And even when they've missed it and all the different things, God's peace, God's reconciliation. So I want to encourage some folks here today, don't give up. Don't give up. Even don't give up on people. Don't give up. Don't give up. I know it looks bleak. I know it looks tough. But if you don't have hope, who's going to have it? If you don't believe the good news, who's going to believe it? Very few believers even know what you know, let alone live it. So Wednesday night was awesome. And that was really gospel of peace parenting. I encourage you to come out this Wednesday. But I love the part when Harry was sharing about, you know, this is my son, I'm well pleased. Remember that? Those that were here? And he was talking about Jesus being baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And so he baptized him, the Spirit of God came upon him as in a dove, in the form of a dove. And then heaven spoke and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And he brought out the fact that, and Harry, this is the last time I'm giving you credit for the revelation because it's mine now. And you probably got it from me anyway. So don't get all puffed up over there. But he said, God said to him, I'm well pleased, before he even had his ministry started, before he did all the miracles, before he went to the cross, before he did anything, God said, I am well pleased with you. And that's going to make the Pharisees mad because they've got all their rules and God doesn't say to them, I'm well pleased. And so they're mad about it. They're mad that he's got joy. They're mad that he's laughing. They're glad that he's smiling. And see, when you have that position of knowing that you're well pleased, the works, the good works will follow. Don't ever get those mixed up that the good works lead to you being well-pleasing. The well-pleasing leads to good works. Now, there's people here today, and we will deal with it at the end of the service. There's people here today, you've never had anybody tell you, I'm well pleased with you. Even in the best of homes, I'm telling you, even in the best of homes, it's dysfunctional. Seriously. Because no parents are perfect. And what with my kids, I'm not trying then to get them to, you know, follow me and, you know, think so highly of me. I want them to think highly of God. And I want them to have this, I am well pleased from God. Because they're going to leave our home one day. Two of them already left. And I want them to have that relationship of knowing who they are in Christ and this right standing. And knowing they're pleasing to the Father that really matters. But some of the homes that we grew up in, I mean, it's just as hell. Even with believers, just hell. The words spoken, the things being said. But there's people here sitting here today, even you've had parents or a loved one say, you know, you're worthless. Or they even, I mean, how would you like to have your parent say to you, I wish you never had been born. Now, why do they say those things? Why do people, they do that? Because they're hurting. It's no excuse. But it's because they have so much pain. And they didn't understand this. There was no peace there. And you know what's sad is you got the pillars of the church and even the pastors, and they're at home abusing their wives and their kids. And then everybody thinks they're so all this. And you got preachers' kids growing up to hate God. Man, if that's my testimony, man, I'm leaving the ministry today. I'm not qualified. Another scripture, 1 John 4, verse 16. We're getting close here, guys. 1 John 4, verse 16, New Living Translation. We know how much God loves us. You have to believe the love. You have to understand the love. And look where this goes now. Watch this. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. It's a growing process. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. That's a whole other message right there. Now look at this. But we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus in heaven. 1,000 years from now. We live like Jesus here in this world. See, Jesus knew who He was. He found Himself in the Bible. He knew His position. He knew His relationship to the Father. He walked in. All that He did is walk in His privileges as the Son of God. Not the Son of God, a Son of God. He didn't have any more privileges than we do. And He came to show us what it's like to be in right relationship with the Father, to show what it's like to be in peace, to be reconciled to the Father. He came to show man this. And then Jesus said this, if you've seen Me, then you've seen the Father. When we're walking in this, again, not perfect, but when we're growing in this, it's going to attract people. People are going to be attracted to the light. They're going to want to know why you're different. They're going to want to know why, when you should be freaking out, you're at peace. And you're not going to say, because I'm so disciplined. You're going to say, it's because of Jesus. And the light is getting brighter. People are going to see it when we're out in the streets, walking around. It's going to be a tangible thing on us. But when we know and understand this love, I mean, I know it's too good to be true, and it's going to take all of our lives plus all of eternity to get the revelation of these things. But we grow in this. We grow in our understanding. Righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. It's a process. And I'm willing to be patient with you wherever you are in the process. I mean, maybe you're at 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. Maybe you're 3 steps forward, 2 steps, whatever it is, I'm going to hang in there with you. I'm going to be speaking over you that the word will not come back void. And sometimes it takes longer. I don't understand why, but I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on you. And hopefully the others here, we're not going to give up on people, even if they just show themselves. Act up. Act ugly. Cuss. Well, then if they cuss, then that's it. But we'll just keep on loving. We're going to speak the truth in love. But you keep on loving them. I mean, can we have this kind of church? What happens if a drug dealer comes? Hebrews 4:16 amplified. And this just shows, you know, where we're at in this process.
Hebrews 4:16 Amplified says this: "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly." You belong at the throne room. You belong in God's presence. You belong there, not based on anything you're doing, but because of who you are. Confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Go boldly to the throne today, guys. Live your life in the throne room. Live your life there. And just bask in His love and receive His love and receive it. He's not mad at you. He's a good God. He's not mad at you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's trying to help. And I tell you, and again, everything doesn't change at first, but more and more, you're going to be living your life expecting good things to happen. Wake up tomorrow morning and expecting, because we do that, we expect bad things. Expecting good things. And even when something bad happens, we don't let that deter us, because we know God and we expect good things every day, all the time. And as you learn to live this way, what's really cool then is you can expect good things to flow through you to others. Even if you don't have all this ministry training and know all the things to do, good things can flow through you towards others when you're out and about. And that's an exciting life. That's living there. Living to me is when you're going through a trial and you can still love others. When you need to be the one being ministered to, and you get your ministry, whatever you need. But even in that situation, you're able to love and to reach out and to care